Yes. That was pretty good. Thank you. I think I heard somebody just say, you look beautiful. Thank you. welcome. It's so good to be here. So good to have the service started after tech issues. So good to just take a moment. I don't know about you, but one thing I absolutely love about Christmas Eve services is the opportunity to just take a deep breath. We have arrived. There's not much more that can be done. And we just pause and remember, as has been mentioned and then prayed, the reason. We pause and we remember Jesus. And I just love this opportunity. Talking about love as an offering today, and I've been thinking about the topic and sermon prep over the last couple weeks. And I was thinking of some of the earliest people in my faith journey. You know, the ones that were there at the very beginning. Now, we were invited to church. My family was invited to church. Actually, my sisters and I were invited to church by our neighbors because they had daughters the same age as me and my sisters, and that's an easy target. Or so the story goes. It was an easy target to invite the little girls to Sunday school. And my mom being my mom, we were relatively new in the community of Powell River, and she is a people person. I was having a hard time, you know, connecting and getting involved with people and places and things. She was like, can I come too? And our neighbors said that my mom was some of the lowest hanging fruit for faith because she just was hungry for it, didn't know she was hungry for it. And our family became a church family really quickly. We were there serving, giving, offering our lives, our efforts from a very young age. I remember it. And I was thinking about the one woman that has made a huge impact on those years of my life from about 5 till I graduated high school. There was one woman at the church there. And I don't know about you, but how I've been thinking about her and how I would describe her. And I've come to a lack of words. There was just something about her presence. She was the head of the Sunday school department. There was something about her presence that was safe. There was something about her presence that I wanted to be seen by her. She worked not very many people worked for the church at that time, and she was involved with daycare for special needs children. That takes a certain type of person. And she just had the best eye contact. I remember being little, and I remember getting a pencil and an eraser from my teacher at like grade 1 or 2 at school. And I wanted Mrs. Freeman to see it so badly. I took it to Sunday school with me, and I wanted her to see my treasure. And she spoke words of value and life and hope. And I remember her saying, Jenny, because that's who I was then, but don't you try it. Okay, we clear? Jenny, you have big purpose. And I just remember her eyes meeting my eyes, and she would always make you look at her, look in my eyes, look in my face. I need you to hear me say these words of love and care and attention. So I was thinking about her today, thinking about her this week, thinking about her for the past couple weeks and these people that just at the foundation of my life instilled such a value for loving community, loving God, and loving the people around us. When I graduated high school, she gave me, I'd been collecting a nativity set. And when I graduated high school, she was sick and didn't have much longer on this earth. And she gave me the stable for a nativity set that I had been collecting because I absolutely loved Jesus. I was ridiculous. Nobody was safe from my efforts to get them to know Jesus and come to Sunday school. And I had collected this nativity set. This is just two small pieces of it. And it was one of my first big purchases as a 10-year-old because these were like $75 to buy these figurines, which is ridiculous considering how old I was, how old I am, and how long ago that was. But I collected these pieces of this nativity set, and every Christmas I would lovingly open them, think about them, put them out, display them. And the stable was hard to get. And I wanted it for several years. And on my high school graduation, when she was well past sick, I opened this gift from her. And every year I opened this gift, I opened this box, and I remember from the foundation of my life a loving presence that showed me of Jesus's love for me. I'm just gonna sit this here. And it's not sacrilegious that it's teddy bears. They're just dressed up as the characters. If you have an issue with that, I'll talk to you after the service. It's cute. I was little. Who in your life speaks of love? Who in your life is at the foundation of your appreciation of God's love for you? And also, as we go through this message this morning, I want us to keep one thing in mind. Who in our lives needs to know love? Who around us needs to know the love of God this Christmas season? Our main point this morning is that when asked what the most important commandment was, Jesus replied that we should love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as ourselves. The Christmas story is full of inspiring characters that demonstrate love as an offering to the world around us. God's love for us is evident in Jesus. We'll look at that this morning. Our encounter with that love is what overflows to the world around us, what flowed through Mrs. Freeman, what has flowed through so many people in my life that have offered care, support, encouragement, and reminders of God's great love for me. You can't help but overflow when you know you are loved. We're looking at five characters this morning, and as Pastor Joel mentioned, I do have a float plane to catch this afternoon. I am a little scared. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Our first character this morning is Mary. Pretty obvious, the mother of Jesus. Mary inspires us and shows us how to love with our whole being. The story of Mary is found in Luke chapter 1. And what happens is that an angel goes to her. So starting in verse number 28, it says, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' Mary asked the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.' And then in verse 38, Mary responds, 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May your word to me be fulfilled.' And then the angel left her." Mary shows us and inspires us to, in fact, love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and love others as ourselves with all of our being. with all that we are, with all that we have, with our mind, with our emotions, with our will, with our strength. We are inspired to take the posture, I am the Lord's servant. God, who are you putting in my path? Who would you have me see? Where would you have me offer love? And having that posture of, I am the Lord's servant. I will go where you go. I will follow where you lead. Even if it's big and unfathomable, a pregnancy by the Holy Spirit. Even into the mysterious, even into the unknown. Right before that final verse I read, the angel said to her, for no word from God will ever fail. That's the loving dependence on God that we are called to, where we understand what he is speaking to us, where he is leading us, who he is calling us to, the plans and the purposes that he would have for 2024, that he would have for tomorrow as we gather with family, with friends, with whatever this day and this week look like. That posture of, I am the Lord's servant. God, I want to be your vessel of love to this world. I want to offer your grace, your hope, your peace, your joy. I am your servant, humble, ready, available. Mary inspires us to offer God our whole being and offer those around us a genuine connection, which is seen in some of these points that are to come. Our second character this morning is Joseph. I like Joseph. Joseph inspires us to consider that love trusts. So Mary comes to him and says, pregnant, to the betrothed, they were engaged to be married. Mary comes and says, I'm pregnant, and God's the father. And he, I think rightly so, had a few questions. The scripture says that he had it in mind to divorce her or to separate, to break the engagement quietly. Fair. I think Joseph is one of the subtle, more underappreciated, most relatable characters in scripture. It's not that he doubted. It's just that he's okay, I believe you. In verse number 20 of Matthew chapter 1, as he was deciding whether or not to break the engagement, it says this, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Joseph inspires us to trust God. Trust the character, the nature, the acts of God, the testimonies of faith and healing, to trust God's faithfulness. Joseph encourages us to trust when God speaks that he is able to do what he says. And then by extension, Joseph inspires us to trust people. Now, when I say this and the idea of trust and trust in relationship, it's a big and often complicated subject because when trust is broken, it's not necessarily really easy to fix. And it's a process and it can be messy. And I don't know if you've ever had a perfect family that has no issues of anything. But often when we gather, when we get together at times of Christmas or holidays or that kind of thing, I don't know about you, but my family goes through a little bit of an adjustment. We're all back together. We all know the triggers because we created them. And there's just easy ways of falling into bad habits sometimes. I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes we can find ourselves in a heightened sense of stress, or why are they like that? Or any number of things that just is heightened at this time of year. And so trusting and working on relationship and working on a better connection or a good connection, I'm just here to say that oftentimes maybe Christmas dinner isn't that conversation. But what I'm wanting to highlight in this idea of love trusting, because love does trust, and it is an important part of loving relationship, is developing and cultivating trust in this relationship. What I am inviting us to is to be aware, a heightened sense of awareness. When we are triggered, when there is a lot going on in our emotions or in our mind, Pastor Joel preached an excellent sermon a couple weeks ago on the battle of our mind and how the thoughts are not meant to be the things that control us. And I am encouraging us, if you haven't listened to that message, go back, it was 2 weeks ago, and listen to it before you go for dinner. And be aware of the things, the messages, the stuff that builds up and is just there, sometimes without knowing, so that we can carry forward into 2024 with maybe a new path of wholeness. Maybe God has something for us in 2024. I want to highlight that at the week of prayer in 2023, there was one of the nights where I don't actually remember all of the details, but I remember that we were instructed to place our hands open in front of us if you wanted. You didn't have to. You never have to participate in this kind of thing. But it was a posture of, what am I offering to God? And it was just a very real practice of, in this year, as we head towards this year, what am I offering to God? And when I postured my hands like that, I felt like God put, a memory marble from the movie Inside Out. And that will mean something to some of you, and some of you will be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But it was basically God put a memory in my hands. And he spoke the words, if you trust me, there is healing in this memory. And that's the invitation that I offer today, is to be aware. You might not fix everything at Christmas dinner. I don't necessarily suggest it. But being aware of the desire to be in holy and trusting and loving relationships with those around us begins with the courage to be aware of areas of broken trust, of areas of lies and doubt, and things that are not of God in our mind. Joseph inspires us to trust, to bring the doubts, to consider, well, I might be out of this relationship, and then to be open to God dreams, God speaking, God showing up and saying, nah, this is the way forward. Let us be people who have the courage of Joseph to trust, to walk this out. Because just because Joseph had a dream and just because Mary had this encounter didn't mean everybody around them was on the same page. I can't imagine their journey. I can't imagine what was going on in the community and in the families of Mary and Joseph. There's a big picture here that scripture is pretty quiet about. But Joseph, I feel, inspires us to a new place of trusting God and trusting people. The third character I want to look at today are the shepherds. They're some of my favorites. I think I said that about Joseph. Probably say that about all of them. The shepherds are an unruly bunch at that point and at that time. The consideration of who and what the shepherds represented was often the unruly, outcast, maybe crass. They were laborers that worked day and night. And there they were in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. And I think in the shepherds we see that love overflows, which I talked about a little bit at the beginning, that when we encounter the love of God, it can't help but flow out of us. And I see that in the shepherds. We're not going to read this whole passage of scripture, but basically there were shepherds in the fields keeping watch, and an angel appears to them and scares them. And the angel says in verse number 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go." I think there's emphasis on those words. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Are you open to go? So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. It overflows. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. What overflows from you? What comes out of your mouth? I had dinner with some friends this past week, friends from my previous church that I was part of, and I don't get to see them that often. But as we sat and ate dinner together, we caught up on families doing whatnot. And then there was stories of what God was doing in each of the circumstances. And I will trade you hearing about your family for hearing about what God was doing any day. I love hearing about our families and all the details of comings and goings for Christmas. But when we started talking about the testimonies, I shared some of the testimonies that we've shared here about rent, about TVs, about other things. Others were sharing testimonies of travel, and others were sharing testimonies of things they'd seen. And it was just this, yeah, but. Let me tell you this story. And I left that Indian food restaurant ready for all the things. I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing, but I got home and I had to go up and tell my sister how good dinner was. And dinner wasn't great, but the company, what overflowed from each person's life and encounters with God, was so inspiring. It was so encouraging. What overflows from your life? I was driving to the dinner, which was in Deep Langley from here, at dinner time. What overflowed when I got to the restaurant was how many cars I'd heard honking and how many cars I had actually wished I could swear at, because people have lost their minds. I'm like, oh Lord, Jesus, the world needs a savior. Honk. I'm not doing anything, and I can't go anywhere, so lay off. I was overflowing, anxious, critical, energy. I was really challenged on the drive home because I was thinking about this, because I knew this point was something important. And so I ask again, what overflows from your life? What have you seen and what have you heard? Just like the shepherds, they are inspired. The angels show up, and sure, that's a big deal, but maybe we won't have angels. But when we take time in God's word, when we put on some Christmas worship music, when we pray about the people that are joining us or that we're going to join, and we're attentive to God's presence in the midst of it, what have you seen and what have you heard? And what is overflowing from your life today? In this past year, a great aunt passed away. And she, my aunt and my uncle, they were like grandparents to me and my sisters. They didn't have any grandchildren of their own, and they would visit us every year, several times a year. And we knew she was nearing the end. And I was sitting one night just praying for her family. And I felt to write to her and tell her what she meant to me growing up. And I sent it to my mom's cousin, my second cousin. And she read it to my great aunt. And a couple days later, my aunt passed away, and my cousin was like, I can't believe your timing. And I was like, I wish I'd said it earlier. Who in your life needs to hear the overflow of your love, of your connection, of your seeing them? I visited a friend this week in the hospital. I don't know if I can do this illustration. I visited a friend this week in the hospital. And I am currently working on the same kind of letter, because I don't know that there's a leader that has more inspired the kind of leader I want to be known as. And visiting him and seeing the frailty of life just inspired this point that love overflows. Don't wait till it's too late. Who in your life needs to hear your care, your heart, your hope, your love for them? What do you see in them? What do you appreciate about them? Choose to say it like the shepherds. It sounds like they couldn't shut up about what they'd seen and what they'd heard. Love overflows. 4, the wise men. I'll use air quotes because that title is, we're just gonna just call them the wise men. We're gonna appreciate that they were astrologers, scholars from the East. There was probably more than 3. They probably weren't there at the manger. But that's okay. We celebrate them because approximately around the birth of Jesus, these astrologers followed a sign in the heavens and came and testified of who Jesus was. They are found in Matthew chapter 2, and I think they show that love responds. All of these concepts overlap. It overflows, it responds. It's present, which is the final point today. But the wise men came to Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod, and this is Matthew chapter 2. Thanks, Claudia. It's the last one, by the way. In verse number 2, they say, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Then they have a few verses of exchange with Herod. Herod doesn't like the thought of Jesus, and after this interview in verse number 9, it says, the wise men went their way. They and the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which is why we get the number three. But they probably had more than three. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod, because Herod wanted to do bad things to Jesus. Kill him. I love that dreams factor into Joseph and the wise men here. I think the wise men show us how to respond to God. And I just like, the thought of responding is a thoughtful following, a thoughtful action, a thoughtful engagement. When we look in relationships and counseling and conflict resolution, the idea of responding versus reacting. Reacting is an emotional, maybe unconsidered, maybe just something happens and I go. Where responding takes a beat, whether that's one beat or 10 beats, and arrives at a thoughtful response. I think the wise men had a lot of time to think about this. They saw a star, they followed a star. They engaged with Herod. They went and followed the star further to the point of meeting Jesus. And they worshiped him. A couple of years ago, I had talked about this scripture in a Christmas Eve service, and then I went on to lead. I was reading scripture and playing the piano and singing all at the same time. Well, not all at the same time, but you get what I'm saying. And I was doing leading the song, O Holy Night, which we're going to close with tonight. And we went back into the fall on your knees, O hear the angel's voices. And I have never in a Christmas Eve service seen this. It was an evening service, and people started falling on their knees. And there was just this moment where I'm leading, and we finished that, and then I just went into the simple chorus, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. And there at a Christmas Eve service, I was really impacted by these wise men offering worship, which if we had more time, we could get into a different culture, arriving at Jesus, acknowledging him, and all that means. But tonight, I am way too many years leading evening Christmas Eve services. This morning, today, I encourage us to respond to God. I've already mentioned it. In our times of scripture, in our times of preparation, in our times of prayer, whatever your time with God looks like, I encourage you, A, don't skip it in the busyness of the season, and B, be attentive to responding to the things that God prompts and puts and pokes in there. Prompts to give. I echo and I love the turkeys that have happened, the TVs that have happened. Also, if you need a turkey, we have one left. And if you need a TV, I know of one. So those two things I know of very well. But we've seen 570 pounds of food taken to the food bank, which is 105 pounds more than last year. So well done. We've seen so many socks and gloves and things taken to those in need. Thank you to Jeff and Trish. We have responded. Let's continue to hear, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And finally this morning, I'll just wrap up with this closing thought, Jesus. Jesus shows us and inspires us to be present in our love. Jesus. In the Message version of John 1:14, it says of Jesus that the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus was present in human form. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, we also don't have this one on the slides. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on human likeness and being found in human nature. He humbled himself. Love is present. It moves into the neighborhood. It sits down and plays Legos. It cooks together. It cleans together. It walks together. It encourages people, even if it's by message or phone call or Zoom call. Even if we are distant, we can still be present to one another. Who in your path needs your presence, needs your love, needs your care? Maybe there needs to be a putting aside of the past. Maybe there needs to be a freedom from distractions, actually taking in social media off my phone as I drive to the airport. What does it look like for you to be present in your relationship with God and in your relationship with the people around you? The conclusion of this message is that in this season of tradition and different gifts and grief, celebration and struggle, let us remember the greatest commandment to love God and those around us. Even today, what does it look like to love God? And who around us needs to know they are loved? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your great love. I thank you for your great love. I thank you that nothing separates us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I pray for a fresh awareness, a fresh revelation, a fresh encounter with your love today. That we would be people who are marked by love. People who respond, who are present, who trust, who grow, who care, who worship. People who encounter God and then go love the world around them. God, would you show us one person that needs to know an encouraging word, that needs to know our love, that needs to know our care? And would you give us courage to say the words, to write the words, whatever it would be, God, would you show us? And I just thank you for your great love that empowers and fills and overwhelms. I thank you. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.